Thank God. That's what I'm thinking. If I'm a listener listening to this, I'm like, thank God, as I'm hitting fast forward on my media player, thank God this thing is only half an hour.
Welcome to the Faith, Finances, and F-Bombs podcast, where we inspire you to manage your money, find your soul, and cover your ears.
Well, hello, everyone. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Hartley.
How's everything going?
It's going great. And no complaints.
Yeah. We should probably take some time to catch up. It occurred to me sometimes we just jump in and move, and maybe the listener appreciates that because they don't have to listen to, you know, mindless chatter between the two of us, but there may be some that say, you know, what's really going on with these guys? So,
all right.
And actually should have done what we just talked about on air, because I had an eye appointment this morning with a specialist. So I just told you how that went. It was all well and good. It was a follow-up to make sure that the trauma from my injury was not worse. And that's probably the biggest thing happening in my life in the last couple of days.
All right. I had an anniversary yesterday that I took cookies to my PT.
Yeah?
I brought him in and I said, hey, it's our anniversary. He goes, blank stare. I said, it was a year ago today I came in to see you after my knee replacement surgery. And he said, oh, I didn't get you anything.
Yeah. I said, it's okay, he didn't even man. Know, he didn't even know it was a year.
No, he didn't. He's been busy. But it was a good little chat. We had a little brief moment where we reminisced, and he just said, everything looks great with you. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm fine. Doing everything I want to do.
One thing I want to make sure we talk about is I want to talk about trash pickup. Not necessarily as an F-bomb.
I just got new 55-gallon trash bags today.
Did you really?
Yeah, I'm so excited. We'll talk about it more in the trash
bag. Okay, so I want to update on trash, because I had my trash day was yesterday, yep. But I happened to be here when they picked up yesterday.
Were they early?
So I was on a little different schedule. I was.
Oh, okay. You were.
Yeah,
okay.
So I was. My schedule was abnormal.
All right.
So, well, we're already into it. I guess I should just say, yeah, I've already given enough information. Why come back?
All right.
You may or may not remember a conversation you and I had many years ago. You were talking about frustrations with the way trash was being collected. Mm-hmm. And I had mentioned to you that in my neighborhood, so I live, for the listener's sake, I live on a cul-de-sac. Obviously, on a cul-de-sac, a truck has to come in and turn around. Mm-hmm. So I had mentioned to you, because you were talking about the frustration and the way that they picked up, and you were actually kind of impressed that there was a crew that would go so far as to have one of their runners that's on the back of the truck come through our street, gather up all the trash, and run it up to the corner.
Yeah.
So the truck doesn't have to come in.
Right.
Prior to us getting these containers, which you'll know what we're talking about with these rolling carts. Mm-hmm. If you are a faithful listener, you've heard us talk about our anticipation of having these carts, and we've had them for about 5-6 weeks now. Mm-hmm. A normal trash collection truck came into our cul-de-sac.
The first week or two?
No. This was yesterday.
Oh, they're broken.
I don't know that they're broken. A runner was lifting the lid, pulling out the bags, carrying them to the truck, mm-hmm. which is the same as if we just had trash bags mm-hmm. sitting on the
right.
curb.
Right.
And I inquired about how many trucks that were equipped for this, which I have seen one. But when this happened yesterday, I thought, I think maybe from the very first week, that's why there was trash left there was loose trash that wasn't gathered in a garbage bag that was remaining in my container, because they obviously have never brought a cart down, or at least they didn't the first few weeks and they didn't yesterday. Who knows about?
Yeah, that is interesting. So I'll tell you from our route how it went. The first week, we were supposed to have the roll cart pickup. We got an old truck because mm-hmm. they didn't have enough new trucks that were working.
Okay.
So it was like, oh, great. You know, I rolled the cart out there, and you're just taking it out of the bag and throwing it in the back like you always do.
Right.
That didn't work so well. Let's fast forward. So we've had roughly 4 more events since then, 2 of which included our newly instituted or reinstituted recycling program
right,
every
correct.
Other week. So I was fortunate enough the second or third week that they picked up, I got the trash out before 8 o'clock, put it in the spot they told me to put it into, was still home when they came by. They were there through our neighborhood like at 8:15, and I heard them.
Right.
So I went to the window and I watched. It was brilliant. It was just, I was so impressed by how efficient it was. The guy pulls up, arm comes out, down. I bet it took 4 seconds.
Yeah, it's and pretty quick.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
This is what we've been waiting for. Praise the Lord. So the next week it's recycle day. Same kind of deal. We have an operational, the new truck comes through, boom, gone. Except this time when I heard the noise, I thought it was the trash guy. It was the recycling guys coming through first. As they're making their left, here comes the trash guy taking a left off the main road. Oh, I can't say my address because I don't want all the people coming to the house. Coming to our house, and it's like within a minute, recycle and trash had come, gone, done. And right. We're still like before 8:30 in the morning. And I was like, this is amazing. I've never seen it this way before. Yesterday was another recycle day, combo trash day, because we were having our irrigation guy come to do my backflow testing. I wasn't sure where he was going to park. He was supposed to be there at 8. So I put my trash bin in our driveway, which I never do because it's in the way if you want to leave for work. But I'm like, well, Noah's coming to do the irrigation thing anyway. He'll be here and gone before I need to go to work. And if the trash guys haven't been here, I'll move it back where I normally put it, where his truck will surely be. It worked out great. I've just been really impressed. But I'm sorry, your cul-de-sac isn't getting it done.
I thought you were going to say the trash came and when it was in the driveway and that created...
No problem.
And the driver stopped and came out and cursed at you. That's what I was hoping.
Nope.
Just for the listener's sake.
It's been perfect.
So the listener would say, boy, I sure hope there's a point to this.
All right, so I mentioned the 55-gallon trash bags.
Oh, yes. Tell me about that.
So
are you putting them in the container?
I asked Courtney when we got the bin, here's my plan. I just want to take the small kitchen trash bags that we're using, throw them in the bin, and not buy black trash bags anymore.
Which is what I've been doing.
She said, I don't want to do it that way. Why not? Well, I don't want the trash can getting dirty. Because, you know, there's a service that charges you a monthly fee to clean the inside of your bin.
Well, that's not required.
No. But I thought, good for that guy marketing, going, hey, City of Columbia, got an idea. Yeah. I'll clean these for people. You just let them know I'm available. I was like, pretty impressive.
Courtney. Okay.
So she also said, there are things I want to take directly to the garage and throw them in the garage and not have them in the kitchen because they stink. Salmon, when I cook salmon.
Right. And also be your socks, you know, when you get, and then when you come home from the gym.
Yeah, don't things go to the you gym, take off so from there the, you go.
Yeah. Hey. I was trying to work in more entertainment for the listener, but go ahead.
So I'm like, okay, I got to come up with how to make everyone happy here. She wants one that will cover should I call it the mouth of the bin?
Yeah, well,
the opening
that'll cover.
Well, see, I now found out it's impossible.
Yeah, you can't
because of the way it's designed. You can't wrap it over.
Right.
But I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Even though the ones we had were 35 and they fit the bin, I said I will order 55-gallon trash bags, so they'll be even bigger. Well, they came right before I left to come here to record. I took one out, tried to put it over. Of course, it's much bigger, 55 versus 35. But there's still no way to physically wrap it around so it stays up.
Right.
But it's in there, so she should be happy.
Courtney.
I got them on sale. It was worth the $20, 2 years worth of bags to keep her happy.
Yeah. Courtney, you've heard me say your name 3 times now. And I know you listen.
She's gonna
appear. I know you're listening.
Beetlejuice.
Courtney, is she home now? We'll just give her a call. Talk to her on air. I thought she probably was. Courtney, just let the just put the trash in the bin. You don't need an extra trash bag. You don't need to clean it. Kevin is a person who keeps things nice and tidy. So, you know, just throw the stuff in the bin. You don't need extra bags. You don't need, Courtney, everything that you need to hear from me.
We are now in the entertainment part of our podcast.
Because you know me so well, it's all going to be summed up by me telling you this one word. Courtney. All right, that's it. I'm done. You know how much Kelly has invested into our whole trash system?
I'm guessing nothing.
I'm holding up a big zero. Nothing.
But don't you
she
think
she does not care? She hasn't inquired. She could care less. Nothing.
But don't you think a cost of $10 a year is worth it to keep harmony? $20. If you're happy for the next 2 years, I'm good with it.
What if you get frustrated because you can't get them to wrap around that?
That's
lip?
On her now because I've done the best I can do. Front, it looks good. But back by the handle.
Oh, yeah. How are you going to get it around the handle? I don't know how you can do that.
Duct tape.
That's another thing, Courtney. Look at the cart. Open up the cart and just look at that and say, logically, how are you going to get that bag to wrap around the back
of
that
lid? I can tell you that right now. Misleadingly, the picture of the 55-gallon bags that I ordered.
Yes.
Showed it wrapped around a roll cart.
Well, of course.
And I was like, oh, perfect. That's what I need.
Yes. And of course they're going to picture it that way because they need to sell it to people whose wives are saying, I don't want to have to clean the inside of the
bag. I'm sure she was thinking about me having to clean
it. I'm sure she was. I was thinking.
She wasn't going to do it anyway.
Thinking about your time and conserving every. Well, yeah, clearly. Courtney, I love you, but trash is trash, my dear. Listener who is not Courtney, I apologize. I'm sure you need about 9 minutes of your life back. Thank God. That's what I'm thinking. If I'm a listener listening to this, I'm like, thank God. As I'm hitting fast forward, if I'm in my car and I'm hitting fast forward on my media player, it's going to fast forward every 10 seconds. I've now hit it 15 times in a row saying, thank God this thing is only half an hour. I don't think we've ever talked about responding to God, and that's what I want to talk about today. The common theme of this podcast, faith portion, is making space for God. But I want to make sure we take time to emphasize and talk about responding to God, because until you respond to God, you won't ever be motivated to make space for God. What I want to focus on and talk about today is how and when and where. This would be a question of reflection. The question would be how and when and where did you first recognize God in your life? I'll let you go first. You came to faith in...
Yeah, as an adult.
Right.
I was baptized when I was 28 years old. I don't have a family history of attending church. I have some recollection of going to church at the Broadway Christian Church. Don Lanier was the pastor. At the time, I didn't fully grasp what was happening behind the scenes, but my parents had had a rocky spot in their marriage, and my dad had moved out. My mother, I think, had given him some, what's the right word, requirements, or you need to do this if we're going to have a chance type stuff. Yeah. One of those was, we need to go see a marriage counselor. That marriage counselor was Don Lanier. He knew my dad was not a church guy, and he said, well, we actually are doing something that's not traditional church, and they had an early morning campfire service on Sunday mornings. I remember going to that. So that was about it for me. Once mom and dad patched up their differences, dad moved back in, we didn't go to church anymore. I began to interact with people who had a faith-based history, their personal history. They grew up with it. They were engaged at the time, in my 20s.
Right.
And I started going to see a guy, Brad Garrison. He was at Christian Fellowship. And Brad finally asked me at one point during this counseling, have you ever been baptized? I talked to my mom and dad, and they're like, no. And I was like, what are you waiting for? I'm 28. What were you thinking? You know, I was almost mad. Like, how could you not have covered that? So I got baptized on Good Friday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Shortly after that, one of these people who were in my social network said, hey, you ought to come to Woodcrest. And at that time, I was working weekends, 10-hour shifts on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I said, I'll tell you what, next time I'm off on Sunday, I'll come. Assuming I would never be off on Sunday until I graduated. Well, schedule comes up. Steve Burnett had been my manager. He scheduled me off on a Sunday. I'm like, Steve, why'd you schedule me off? He said, well, I thought you'd appreciate a day off. So I go to Woodcrest, and that's how I started going there, made that first connection. That's how I started. So I'm in Italy in the summer of 1992. I'm by myself, and I'm looking for extended family from the Bartolacci side. And this was the first time post baptism where I felt the presence of God so clearly, it erased any doubt I might have. The fact I ended up there and I found people, and I was in a, I'll call it a hotel, that's what they called it, a room that had no phone. 92, we didn't have the internet.
Right.
None of that, right?
Yeah.
So there's no cell phones. I was able to make this connection with Michaela Bartolini, and I was supposed to see her the next day. I was supposed to catch a bus in Florence, go north, get dropped off at a little town called Polcanto, and then I was going to meet this Bartolini family who we knew was related to us. All these events just lined up. How am I going to wake up in time, make my way to the bus station, figure out which ticket to buy, know which stop to get off on? And I'm laying there in bed, mind's racing. There's a dove out my window cooing all night.
Wow.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I got to get some sleep. I just felt a sense of calm. And I was confident that it would all work out. And it did. Bus drops me off. It drives away. There's no one there to meet me. So now I'm like, huh. This bus only came through that town once. So, you know, I got dropped off. It's not like there's another one coming by to pick me up and take me back to Florence.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting. Now I'm dropped off in the middle of nowhere. No one's waiting at the bus stop. And I don't have an option to get back to Florence. But Michaela came walking down the hill, probably within 10 minutes of when I got dropped off.
Yeah.
And from there on, it was just like a whirlwind of activity happened that weekend, meeting people. The village had heard I was coming from the phone call Friday night to Saturday morning. They all knew. I wish I had a National Geographic team with me so we could have recorded it. It was just that, I'll just say God ordained. Mm-hmm. And it just, from that point on, I was like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And that was my first, I guess you'd say, interaction with God and the nature of God.
Yeah.
And then the second one was when Olivia was born.
Right.
As all of us who have watched the birth of a child, I just don't know how you could watch that and still deny that God exists.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow. So I had those two relatively in short order in 92 and 96, and I've never looked back.
Your experience sounds like the interaction with God was more of just being in awe.
Well, and it goes back to you talking about with faith. When I told my dad I was going to go to Italy to visit my friend, he was not excited because I was going to borrow the money for my flight and my accommodations. And that's not the way he was raised. You didn't borrow money you didn't need.
Right.
But I'm like, you don't understand. I have to go. That's how I felt.
Right.
The fact that my friend got stationed in Italy, I thought that was clearly a sign and that God was connecting the dots for me and said, if you're going to go, do it while Ted's in the Air Force.
Right.
So I did.
Yeah.
And I was also getting ready to graduate the summer of 92. I was going to graduate in December of 93. I'm like, if I don't do it now and I get a job and I start working, when am I going to have the ability to take 3 weeks off in a row and go look for people that my dad has collected out of his grandmother's photo album? And how am I going to find those people?
Right.
And if I don't do it now, when's it going to happen?
Exactly.
And it worked out. So I took Italian at the university. It's my language credit because I had to have a language to graduate. That worked out pretty well. And like I said, I was just convinced that it would work out, and it did. Still have relationships with those people 32 years later.
Yeah.
And it would have never happened if I wouldn't have just stepped out in faith and said, this just looks so clear to me that this has been designed for my dad to figure out where his family is that he's never met.
Right. Yeah.
And I benefited from it as well. It wasn't just to fill dad's cup, but I still think it was convinced to this day. Nothing's changed my mind that was God worked well in advance of the event to lay the path for me to follow should I choose to have faith in that process.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah. That is pretty cool. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
The differences in our faith journeys, you and I come from varying degrees of backgrounds. I think anyone listening would know that I obviously was raised in church, been in church my entire life, but I think my first recognition of God, that he was absent in my life, I needed him to be an active part of it, was probably after my sister died. I had just turned 5. That was a pivotal event in my life in many, many, many ways. She died in January, and it was probably around April. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, and there were traditions and polity, not policy, but polity, polity means the way we do things. Mm-hmm. In the Baptist faith, one of the polities was, we will have a revival a couple of times a year. It was during a revival, and I recognized that he needed to be an active part of my life that I embraced and stepped across the line of faith. I don't know how else to explain it. I mean, I just knew it. I knew it, and I felt it. A sense of awe, there was a sense of need. I think I had a full awareness that that's what had happened to my sister, that she had a relationship with God, and she was in heaven. The way in which we live our response to God, unless we find it personal, transformational meaning in its fullest sense, the struggle for wholeness will remain restless until we find our rest in God. So spirituality is the way in which we live out our response to God.
Wow, you know, we had the eclipse this week, the same week we had trash picked up. What a religious experience.
Yes, yeah, that was such a, it's
not near as cool as 7 years ago,
that's right.
That's right. I was really disappointed.
Someone was covering the eclipse at some location in Texas and just went fanatical, and the crowd was screaming.
CBS had a crew there.
And she was saying, they are willing it. They are willing it. I don't know if you heard that or saw that clip.
I did not hear that.
Yeah.
The crowd was willing the eclipse?
That's what she was implying, because the cheers were just...
Where were you? Were you here in Columbia?
No, I took my Learjet to Nova Scotia to catch the total eclipse of the sun. I prepared.
Did you watch yourself go by?
Only with one eye in the mirror. With only one eye on the mirror did I watch myself go by.
Good. I'm impressed.
I planned and prepared and was thinking, okay, it's going to be good, and then totally forgot all about it when it happened.
I did not forget about it. I wasn't going to design my day around it. You remember the buildup to this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I said, Yeah, well, I did it 7 years ago.
Right. But
and it was cool.
But you're not going to get to do it again for, I think, like 27 years or something care. Like that.
I had the little chart that I took a screenshot of so I could say, okay, at so and such time, I'll be on the deck and I'll start trying to experience it again with an open mind and try to keep myself positive. I have a video of the totality Monday, uh-huh. and I could show it to you, and you're going to go,
where was it?
Yeah.
Because that's what I heard.
Yeah. It's like, it didn't get dark here. Now, St. Louis was a different ball game. It got dark in St. Louis.
Right.
Like it did here seven years ago.
Yeah. We were in a good location 7 years. I mean, I guess we were maybe in the prime spot.
We were in the
spot.
Path of totality. Yeah. It was so cool.
7 years ago, mm-hmm. I was working at Ready Mix that day. The employers, you can take off. So I left there and went to meet Kelly and the group where they were watching it together. Here's my favorite part about that day. I recall that I left Columbia Ready Mix north of I-70 on Stadium Drive, which is probably the most heavily trafficked thoroughfare in our community. At midday, I left Ready Mix and I took a look around and I took a look ahead and I punched it and I drove down Stadium Boulevard at 100 miles an hour in the middle of the day.
Nice.
No one was on the road.
Do we want to move on to finances?
Yeah, let's do finances.
All right. I have just a little bit of an update. Record closes.
Tell us.
We are still at 22. Our 22nd record close was on March 28th. Listeners, we are recording this on April 11th.
Yeah.
We are roughly 100 points behind where we closed on the S&P 500 on March 28th. Record close was 5,254.35. And I want to emphasize, if you got our last podcast and listened to it and we had 20 or whatever by that point, I don't want you to go, oh, we had 20 in the first quarter. Well, there's four quarters in a year. There must be 80 this year. This does not move in a linear fashion. I think we may have mentioned this on the podcast. I certainly mentioned it in my classroom. We may go 6 months or 9 months without another record close. Remember we talked about how many we had in 23, which was zero? We may not have another one. So I just want to give an update on that. We're still at 22. We're not going to break it this week. There's no way. This is Thursday. We're too far away. Not going to happen. Because of some data that was released about inflation is still hotter than the Fed would like. And I do want to make a historical comment here. I don't know why we're so focused on 2% inflation rate. As I've been in the industry now for 30 plus years, all the financial modeling software has a default inflation rate of 3% because that had been the historical average for 100 years. But now we've got this period in which we had like 15 years and never broke 2% inflation in any of those years. Now we're talking about a 2% target? I just don't understand where that comes from.
So to you, it makes no sense.
Well, I don't understand why we would look for a 33% reduction in the inflation rate for our target when the historical average is 3.
Yeah.
I'm confused on what the rationale is.
Right.
They may have a great rationale. I don't know. So inflation came in hotter than expected in March, which now the market retreated both the last 2 days after that report. There was some silver lining in the producer price index that came out today. It didn't seem as bad as the CPI numbers, but whatever. My whole point is why all of a sudden are we locked on 2 as our target when it's not been the historical average? And I don't have an answer for that. So also brings me back to another blog I wrote about, and we may have talked about it on the podcast too. I've lost track. We keep talking about what the Fed's going to do, and now there's a lot of traders that think they're actually going to raise rates one more time. Wow. In 24, I still don't think they will. I think they'll continue to pause. From the beginning of this, I said they're not going to do anything to the third quarter.
Right.
Well, then people got excited because the inflation rate started to drop month over month, year over year. Well, now they're all freaking out again. Oh, it's higher than they want. They're going to raise rates one more time. And if they don't, oh, it's going to be hell, blah, blah, blah. But back to my original point about why do they have to be 25 basis points? This is the thing I blogged about. If you're not sure and you want to just like, okay, let's not cut it 25. Let's cut it 8.
Yeah.
12, 13, 17, whatever. Pick a number. When I blogged about this in the past, a friend of mine who then got into our industry late in his career, He said he researched it. He didn't find anything in the Fed charter that says it has to be quarter basis points or some multiple of a quarter, 50, 75, 100, et cetera. He said there's nothing in their charter that says they couldn't raise it or drop it 8 points, 8 basis points. Right? Because that's the fear now. Everyone's like, well, if the Fed cuts it too soon, we're going to have inflation go higher and blah, blah, blah. Well, all right. Well, don't do 25.
Right.
Do 6.
Seems logical.
Do 2 if you want. You know, something. Why does it have to be 25? Yeah. So, listeners, if you're out there and you want to do some more research on top of Bob Steinmetz's research, see what you can find out. But he couldn't find anything that said it has to be some round number like 25, 50, 75 or
100. Right, right.
I just don't know why we don't do that. You know, I've always had this big thing about fixed mindset and fluid mindset.
Right.
I thought maybe there was something in their charter that prevented it. Because to me, it was such a clear thing. Well, if you're afraid 25 is too much, do half. Now, maybe not fractional. Do 12. Do 13.
Right, okay. Right.
Make it an even number. But why are we stuck on this?
I don't know.
I don't know either. So write your congresspeople. And that's all I had on finance.
All right.
Tax day's coming up.
Thank you. Yeah, if we get through the weekend, got to pay taxes. Or get a refund if you're a local.
I got my refund back already.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know how I missed it so much. That's for another discussion.
Missed what? Meaning?
My refund was much higher than I was anticipating.
Oh, so.
So I paid more taxes in 23 than I
thought. Oh, yeah. And you, yeah. I know what you're saying.
And if the listener recalls, I don't do mine on a worksheet.
Right.
I calculate it in my previous tax returns.
So you miscalculate
it out. Yeah. And I don't know how, because I took the number off the 22 return, divided it by 12, and said, take this much out of my check every month.
Yeah.
And my check didn't change. I don't know why I got so much money back this year.
It's weird.
But it was like, oh, yeah, go ahead and send that to me right away. O.J. Simpson died.
Oh, did he?
76 years old. His family's asking for privacy during the transition.
When did he die?
Today.
He died today?
Yeah.
O.J. Simpson is this changes everything. Reset. Reset. Restart the podcast.
But hold on.
Restart the episode.
Well, then I'm going to ask you. I want to tell you I found out. So I'm listening to my oldies channel. It's classic vinyl. She announces O.J. Simpson died today. Statement from the family. Blah, 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 blah. The song she played after the announcement. Life in the Fast Lane.
Oh, my God.
I immediately went to myself, okay, that can't be a coincidence.
Yeah, was she that? Did she calculate that well?
And I thought, I have to share this with Hartley. He's going to get a kick out
of my God.
The sequence of events. O.J. Simpson's dead today. I'm going to play Life in the Fast Lane next.
I had not heard.
Yeah.
I had not heard that he had passed away. And I was already excited for June to come along because it was going to be the 40th anniversary of the chase.
Yeah.
Of the whole trial and everything.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
I guess the stress was too much for him to bear.
Oh my gosh. Listener, you made it. I'm so glad that you are still here. The fact that you're still listening lets both of us know that you have not taken this episode and thrown it into that oversized file 13 rollaway cart that perhaps you feel at least a portion of this episode may have deserved. And maybe I'm just being too hard on ourselves. Either way, I hope you have been entertained. We are so grateful that you were here. Always grateful that you have joined us. We look forward to you joining us again. You can listen to our next episode that will be published next week. We will be back in a week and we hope you will join us. We hope that your tax season goes well if you are keeping up with us in real time. Have a good weekend, and hopefully you're not having to do taxes all weekend. Kevin is getting a refund. I'm paying out the kazoo, and let the kazoo mean whatever it means to you. Take care. Thank you, and goodbye.